We're looking at how to study the Bible, and I think it's really important that we realize that, because if we don't know how to interpret the Bible, we're going to get a lot of things that are not true. Just like the fellow that went in one day and he said, I'm going to do what the Bible tells me to do. So he took his Bible and he just opened it up, and just wherever it fell, that's what he read. And it said, Judas hung himself. And he thought, well, that's strange. So he just did it again and opened it up and said, go thou and do likewise. And so he was getting scared by now. And so he opened it up a third time. He says, why do you wait? Go quickly. Well, that's not a good way to study the Bible. Now, we might think that God's just going to direct everything in that, but God expects us to be able to have some wisdom to use the Scriptures and use them in the right way. And so what we're doing is trying to find out, how do we study the Bible? And you may say, well, we've studied this before. We've looked at it before. I know it. But we've got to continue to do that. We've got to continue, because there are those that are young that need to know. There's those of us that are older. We need to be reminded again those things. Paul told Timothy to remind the people about the Word of God, to cause them to remember that thing, because that's the important thing. Just having a Bible is not a great thing. Most of us have several Bibles in our house. I don't know how many I own, but it doesn't do any good unless you're willing to do what it has to say. But if you don't understand how to interpret it, you may come up with the same thing that this fellow came up with, which was not really what he wanted to come up with. We want to look at an important thing tonight about studying the Bible. A person can know a lot of Scriptures but not know really what the Bible's talking about. We need to know what the Bible's talking about. Now, look at this. How do we study the Bible? First of all, we got to decide in ourselves that the Bible is really something worth studying. Now, turn with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. In 1 Timothy 4, starting with verse 12 through 16, Paul is talking to Timothy here, trying to help him to understand some things that he needs to do as a young man preaching and teaching the Word of God. And look at what he tells him to do. He says, Timothy, let no one despise your youth. You're young, but don't let people look at that in a bad way. But be an example of the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come. Adverb of time there, that till. It's going to be a time when I'm going to come. But until I get there, this is what I want you to do. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Now, those are three things that we really need to be concerned with. And the reading part is what I want us to look at tonight just a little bit. And not saying that exhortation, that encouraging, that helping other people is not important, and doctrine is not important. It is. Doctrine is what we find when we read the Word of God. And so here he says, I want you to do this. Do not, verse 14, neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourselves entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. These things, if you have these three things and continue with that gift that you've been given, that you may have progress in these things. Take heed to yourselves and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourselves and those who hear you. He says, Timothy, I want you to know the Word of God. I want you to know it because your soul stands in the balance. But not only that, the souls of others stand in the balance. And you need to know the Word of God. You need to know it in such a way as you will be able to follow it and to continue to teach it. So we've got to decide, is this thing really the Word of God? And if it is, then that means it's really important, that it's really necessary. Paul, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, as we all know, where he says there, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It means that God has spoken that word. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructing us, teaching us what is right. The reason that the man of God, the people that want to follow God, may be completely, thoroughly furnished to every good work, that we might know what to do, and that we might be willing to do it. That's what Paul was trying to say to Timothy there, that he needed to do. Most of us devote our time to learning, and we need to devote it to learning the Word of God, and learning it in such a way. But let me tell you, if you don't believe it's the Word of God, you're not going to be that concerned about it. You're not going to be that concerned about knowing what it has to say, about understanding it, about living it, about teaching it. You're not going to be. So we first of all got to decide, do we really believe that this is the Word of God? Now, please don't just say, oh, yeah, we do. I go to church. Well, it's a little more than that. Do we decide it in such a way that it's going to help to change people? Because, you know, if we don't believe this is the Word of God, we're not going to provide time to be able to study the Bible. We're not going to put the effort forward to find out what the Bible has to say. So what we've got to do is to really believe that this is the Word of God. When we do that, then we're going to find time, we're going to find places or energy to be able to study the Word of God. Now, we live in a time where everybody is so busy doing this and that. I don't know what all we're doing, and some days I look back and think, what did I get done today? And I don't know whether my mind's just going, I can't remember, or I didn't get as much done as I wanted to do. And we're all busy. We got things lined up to do. We have to have things. I mean, I make a list. I've already started it for Monday of what I got to get done. And we make up those things so that we can get things done. We can accomplish things. Let me tell you something. We're never too busy to study the Word of God. But we need to know how to do it. A lot of people have been reading the Bible, and they believe a lot of things, but it's not in the way that will help them and benefit them. We've got to study it. And like Paul told Timothy here, we need to commit that thing to our memory. Commit it to our faith. Let that build our faith and make us stronger. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to find out what I need to do to become a Christian and how to live the Christian life and how I need to teach others to live the Christian life. And that's basically what we're doing. That's what we should be doing. Those are the most important things. And the other stuff, it's kind of fluff. We just go with it. But that's the important things we need to do, those things that will help us and benefit us. We need to be like the Bereans in Acts 17. They searched the Scriptures. They wanted to find out what they were being taught, if it was right, if it was good, if it was true. They wanted to see that. And so they were willing to look back at what God's Word has to say and search that and find out what it had to say. Now, we've already talked in the first two lessons about having a good attitude in studying the Bible. Have an attitude of, I'm going to study this, I'm going to find out what it has to say, and nobody's going to keep me from doing that. And I'm not going to keep myself from doing it. I'm going to do it. And I'm going to study what the Bible has to say. Then secondly, we've got to decide what the Bible has to say or what we're going to try to study. Are we going to try to look at this and study according to topics? And that's good sometimes to study according to topics. And we look at a particular topic and we go through in the Bible and find out what different scriptures are saying about this particular topic that we're studying, and that's a good way to do it. Textual studying, looking at books or just a particular text and kind of researching that. That's a good way to do it. Or maybe we want to look at characters of the Bible. We want to look at people of the Bible. We want to study about Moses and about his life. We want to study about David and his life. And so we've got to decide what we're going to do, how we're going to do that. Or we might decide that we want to study about a period of time. We want to study about the 400 years between Malachi and Matthew. And we want to look at those 400 years and find out, was God really silent during those 400 years? What was he really saying to those people? What was he in preparation of to get those people ready for the Messiah that was going to come? Was he really not saying anything, or was he speaking so loud that people just ignored what he was trying to say? He didn't have a lot written down for us, but there's a lot that's said in that 400 years of supposedly silence that's important for us to look at. And we need to look at that and consider it in the right way and not neglect what we're going to try to do. And it's good for us to be able to do that and see those things. This is something that is needed, not only for the moment, but for all time. And we need to understand that. Turn, if you would, to James 22. I want you to see this. We need to not just be those people that study the Bible and we find out what it has to say, but a part of how to study the Bible is carrying it out and doing it. Now, you can study all you want to about personal work. And I can remember years ago when they had classes, and they had every time at a lectureship they had a class on personal work, you couldn't get in the room. It was full. It was just packed. So many people there wanting to learn how to do it. I remember at Mars Hill, the Mars Hill Bible School, they had a lectureship up there. They had one guy to come in, and he was going to tell them how to do personal work. And they got in there, and that room was just packed of people. You know what he said? I've got buses out there. We're going to all go get on those buses and go start knocking doors and talking to people. Now, let me tell you something. They were backing out of that class. They didn't really want to go. You can study all you want to, but until you do it, it really is not worth very much. Studying the Bible is an important thing, but just studying it and not doing it is not going to help you much at all. You got to be willing to have the faith to be able to do that. Now look at what James says. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Now if all you're going to do is listen to the word of God and you're not going to do it, you're deceiving yourselves. And that's what James is trying to say here. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who observes his natural face in a mirror. He looks at his face in a mirror and he sees there, my hair needs combing. I need to shave, you know. Or a lady might say, my makeup is just not where it needs to be, you know. Or it might be a man says his makeup's not where it needs to be. I don't know. But you look at that and you see that there's a problem there, but you turn around and by the time you turn around, you forgot all about it. You forgot what you look like. And so you go away. He said, that's what can happen here. He goes away and immediately forgets what he has seen there. He forgets it. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. Okay, so when we read this Bible and we find out what we need to be doing, what we've got to do is do it. Now, if you're going to read it and not do it, it doesn't do much good. We got to do it. And that's what James is trying to say. Now, you say, what's that got to do with Bible study? Well, it's got to help us to believe that these things can be done. Many times I've had people say, well, you can't do this or you can't do that, and I can just about mark it down for you. Those people have never done it before. I had a fellow one time, I said, well, this is the way I do my Bible study. He said, well, that's not a good way. I said, what way do you use? He didn't say anything. Before you're going to criticize other people, you have a way to do it too. You need to know what the Bible says, and you need to be doing it. That's a part of Bible study. That's a part that we neglect sometimes because we think Bible study is sitting in a church with a preacher, and he's preaching, and he's teaching. That's one form of Bible study. But let me tell you something. If that's all the Bible study you do, you're not gaining the important things to build your faith. You've got to do it at home. You got to do it so that you can help other people to do it and you can do it yourself. So we got to be willing to do that. We need to be looking at those things that will help us and build our salvation up and help us to know those things. How do you study the Bible? We need to be those people that we discover what the Bible is saying on a particular subject. We might need to look at a particular subject and study that and find out what it has to say. So we've got to get the Bible down and do that. We got to determine the context of a passage. Now, turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter and verse 17. Some people don't get a passage in its context. And someone has said, if you don't get it in the context, you got a pretext. You got something that you're going to look at. And like a while ago, the fellow didn't have the passage that I mentioned a while ago. He didn't have it in its context. And he needed to get it in its context. But in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 7 here, Paul is talking to some people and he said, I didn't baptize anybody. Jesus didn't call me to come and baptize people. Somebody said, hey, look at that. You shouldn't have to be baptized. Paul said he didn't do it. Said he didn't do it. Now, what you've got to do is to get it in its proper context of what it's trying to say here. Now look at verse 13. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? He's saying, wait a minute, there's a problem here of people having a particular preacher that baptized them. And they're looking around and saying, well, you know, I was baptized by Mark Little. That means my baptism is better than yours. I was baptized by Charles. That means my baptism is better than the one Mark has. And Paul said, that's not what we need to be doing. And he said, was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I don't think so. Verse 14, I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius. He's saying here, I'm glad I didn't baptize you people. He's saying, I'm glad I didn't physically baptize you so that you could brag about, oh, Paul did that. Woo, I got a great baptism then. It's better than anybody else's. No, it doesn't make any difference who baptizes you. Not at all. But it makes a difference that you are baptized. That's the important thing. That's the thing we need to be concerned with. So you got to get this in its context. Now look at verse 15. Lest anyone should say that I have baptized in my own name. That's what he's trying to say here. He's saying, I don't want people to say, I was baptized by Paul. That's important. That's great. Or I was baptized in the name of Paul. Well, now, that's very easy to do, because we can get a preacher worship, which is not a good thing to do. But he's trying to say, here, get the context of this. Understand what's being said. Then Paul goes on to say that here, for Christ did not send me to baptize. He didn't send me there to baptize so that people would give me the glory, give me the honor, give me the praise. That's not the purpose of it. The purpose of it is so that you can save your soul, not who baptizes you. It makes no difference at all who does that. But it's that it's done. And that's what Paul is trying to say here. So to say that Paul is saying that we don't have to be baptized is not putting the passage in its context of what it's trying to say. And we got to understand that. Now maybe you know that too. Maybe somebody, you know, have you ever walked up on a conversation and somebody said something and you thought, well, I can't believe they said that. Why in the world would they say something like that? And then when you find out maybe they were repeating what somebody else had said and emphasizing that this was a wrong way to do it. Get things in its context. That's what we've got to do, is find out what the context is and understand that. That's what Paul was trying to say there. That's what he wanted those people to understand. That's what we got to understand. And then we need to look at who's talking. Who is talking when you, I mean, who's saying this? We could go to Genesis 3 and verse 4 where it says there, you're not going to die. Now, who said that? Was it God? Who said it? The serpent. The devil. Well, now, is that true? Well, now, it's written in the Bible that says you're not going to die. Who said it? Satan did. Satan is twisting the Word of God. Satan is not using it in the right way. Who is it talking to? There's people that believe that we're still going to have a nation of Israel gathered on this earth and the Lord's going to sit on a throne and all that stuff because, very simply, because they misunderstand the context of a passage there and who's talking. When it's talking to Israel in the Old Testament, it's saying to them, you're going to have a land and God makes a promise, I'm going to give you this land. Did he make that promise? Yes. Did he fulfill that promise? Yes. Who was it to? Not to Christians, but to a physical nation of people. To a group of people. Not to Christians. We're not going to have, we don't need an earthly land. We've got a heavenly land. We've got a place that's prepared that's better than this world could ever be. And so we need to be careful about that so that we can understand who is talking and what are they saying. Just like in Job 2 and verse 9, it says there to curse God and die. That's what it says, isn't it? If you look at it and see, that's what it says, curse God and die. Well, first of all, it's his wife telling him that, so you got to watch that. But she's saying it, why don't you just go ahead and curse God and die? And he says, I can't do that. I'm not going to do that. So who's talking? What are they saying? Find out what are they're saying there. Are you talking to people that are just sinners that know nothing about the Bible, nothing about the Word of God? It does very little to go into people who know nothing about the Word of God, who may not even believe that it is the Word of God, and you're going to quote Scripture to them. What good's that? You could quote the phone book to them and do just about as much good. So when you're coming in and you're talking to people that know nothing about the Bible, the first thing you have to do is help them to understand the inspiration of Scriptures and what that is. So you got to bring them back over there to do that. And then sometimes you're talking to people that are already Christians, and you're trying to help them to see some things. So you take them where they are. One thing that's so significant within the New Testament is when you read the first 8 or 9 chapters of the book of Acts, and you see there people are told what to do to be saved. Some people are told to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. That's what they're told. Some people are told to believe. Why? Because they don't believe. Some people are not even told to believe. They're told to be baptized. Well, do they not have to believe? No, what we've got to do is to understand, we've got to understand who are we talking to help them to know where they are, where they need to be. And we can teach false doctrine if we're not careful, if we don't look at the idea of who are we talking to, who are we trying to help to understand the Word of God. So we've got to be there. We've got to consider all that the Bible says on a particular topic. We need to look at everything that it has to say. I was looking at the internet the other day, and a fellow had taken the subject of baptism, took every passage that was found in the New Testament that dealt with baptism, and he put them all down and kind of categorized them so that you could go through and see those things. Now, if you want to study, that's a good way to do it. But be sure you get all of the passages that are there and all of the relating passages to that so that you can know what's being said there. You know, you can go, there's seven baptisms that are talked about in the New Testament. Remember the baptism of fire? I've heard fellows on the radio said, well, I want the baptism of fire. Let me tell you something, you may get it, but you ain't going to like it. That's not a good thing. That's not something you want to ask for. You want the baptism that Paul talked about in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 5, when he said there's only one baptism that's really beneficial, that's really helpful. And he illustrates it there. He said there's only one Lord, there's only one faith, there's only one baptism. There's only one God. That's all there is. There's only one baptism. What about these other baptisms? Well, you need to look at those and find out what they're talking about, where they're at in that conversation. All right, now, I want to see some, show you some methods of Bible study. This is important for us to see. First of all, there's a planned lesson. Now, we do this here sometimes. Sometimes Mark will have stuff that he's printed off, and he'll hand you a copy of it so that you can look at it, you can see it. We've had books that we studied and looked at. And that's a planned study. And you show everybody where you're going to go. And that's a great way to study the Bible. And it can help us to be able to do that. This is a good way to study it. But we have to be careful to understand it can't cover everything. It's dealing only with that particular topic. And it's not the only method. It's not the only method. If that's the only method you're using, as I mentioned a while ago, you're missing a lot. You need to be studying at home too. And this is a part of study that's good there. And then there's the subject method, where you look at a particular subject. I think Mark on Sunday morning is looking at Jesus. We're looking at Him, and we're studying about His life. And that's a good way to look at it, to study on that thing. Or study about, we mentioned baptism a while ago. Study baptism. Find out what it has to say, what it's doing there. This method has its advantages and has its disadvantages because you can't cover all of it that you want to. And then there's the book method. That's where you take, and I really like this one, where you take a book and you study that particular book. You see, the Bible is not one book, but it's 66 books that have been put together. And so we can look at one book and see what it's talking about, see who it's talking to, what they're trying to say, what the point of that they're trying to make here, and understand what's being said to those people, and then make the application to ourselves so that we can see some things that we can grow out of there. And this is a good way. But I want to give you another way. And this one sounds so simple. Henry will like this one. It's reading. It's reading. Now, Henry steps up every Sunday morning and says, Bible, who's read the Bible? Okay, that's great. That's good, and we need to do that. But I was reading a fellow named John MacArthur. He's not a member of the church, but he is a very good Bible student. And he said what he has done for all the years that he's been preaching, he will take 6 or 7 chapters, and he will read those chapters every day for a month. Now, you just think about that. After a while, you're going to get, I don't understand this. What's going on? I want to go to something else. But you got to have patience in studying the Word of God. And he said, I read 6 or 7 chapters. Well, you take the book of Matthew, which is 28 chapters, and in 3 settings you can do that. In 3 months you read that. You just think if you read that every day for a whole month, do you think you'd remember some of that? I see young people that they can sing songs, and you know, there'll be a song come on, and you know, even my grandkids that are 3, 4, and 5 years old, they know these songs. Barney, I heard Barney so many years. I don't know if you can shoot that guy. But I heard about Barney. They know all those songs. What is the friend thing, you know? I can't remember all of it right now. But, I mean, they sang that thing, and here you had 3 and sometimes 2-year-old kids that knew every verse to it. How did they learn that? Did their mama sit down and say, okay, you're going to study this, and you're going to find out what it has to say? How'd they do that? They heard it. They heard it, and they heard it. And after a while, they remembered it. Some of those songs that you know, did you study those songs? Did you go get you a copy of that song and say, okay, now I'm going to find out what this, I'm going to find out all the words about this. Or did you hear it and you started thinking about it and you started singing it just a little bit and you started going over with them? Oh, man. Have you seen that show that they got on television where they give these people a song and they've got to sing every bit of it? There's some of those people that know every song. They give them a person and they give them a song and those people can sing every one of them. How'd they do that? They heard it. They wanted to know it, and they found out. One of the great things, and I really like this, it's a very simple way to study the Bible, is reading it and looking at it and reading it and looking at it. If you do that, if you read a book and you read it like through the book of Matthew, in 3 months you read through that thing and you read through it a whole month, let me tell you something, you're going to remember some of it. But that doesn't mean you mark that book off and you never go back to it. It may mean that you go to another book and then you read it and then you come back to it again. I don't know what the preachers have heard that I've read that have said you need to read as a preacher 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus every day. You say, every day? Wouldn't that get boring? That's exactly what the devil wants you to think too. Because he knows the power that you can gain from that. So reading and finding out what it has to say, the daily Bible study of that, and just read a few chapters, or some of these books are so simple, you could read them in just a short time. And you might be able to read that whole book for a whole month. And I'm going to tell you, most of us can get at least something out of that if we read it that much. It's a simple way to do it, but it's a great way to do it. Now, you look back at the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, they did not have the Bible written except in a few copies. What did they do? You turn to Nehemiah 8 and verse 1 and you see where Ezra stood up and read the Word of God to the people. We hear where Moses stood up and read the Word of God to the people. Joshua, when he became the leader of Israel, stood up and read the Word of God to the people. They didn't have a copy. How did they know what it had to say? How did they know how to live? They heard it and they heard it and they heard it. And they remembered it. Can you think your mother told you a million times to do something? And still, in your mind, when you come across whatever that is or something, it'll jar. I can hear her saying that. I can hear her speaking those words to me. You could go to Deuteronomy 3 and verse 11 or Joshua 8 and verse 35 and other passages where it said they read the Word of God. They get all the people assembled there. And on some occasions, they would be in a valley and the reader would stand up over the top of them and read. They would read all day long and do it again and do it again. They didn't have a written copy. How were they supposed to know that? By reading what it has to say. We've got to be the people that we devote ourselves to finding out what the Bible has to say. Not just listening to what a preacher has to say. Not just Bible class, but also studying it for ourselves. Now, I've given you a simple way to know the Word of God. Now, if you'll take that, I guarantee you, you're going to know more about the Bible than you can ever think. You need that. You've got to have that. Now, look at this. John 8, verses 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in Him. Here were people who believed in Jesus Christ. If you abide in My Word, you are My disciple indeed. You're really My disciple. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to find out what the Bible has to say. We're trying to find out what the Word of God has to say so that it can help us to know what's right and what's wrong. You see, most people want to do what's right, I think. They just are not sure exactly what's right and what's wrong. Now, I know some things are just good. We know it's not good to murder. We understand that. But there's other things that we're not sure about. Let me tell you something. You study the Word of God, and you'll know the Word of God. And you'll be able to answer those questions. You'll be able to deal with those questions. It'll help you to have more confidence, more faith, and more trust in God if you'll do that. Something simple. It's not complicated. You don't have to go to 4 years to college. You have to do it for the rest of your life. And you'll learn that. And you'll grow in the faith. And you'll grow in the Word of God. And it'll be so strong in you that people will say, you know, if you got a Bible question, yeah, you need to go over and ask Danny. You need to ask Mark. Ask Harold or Henry or some of these other fellows around you. Some of the ladies around here, Ruby or Linda, Joyce. Why? Because we know they know the Word of God because they've been studying it. And you know what? We want to tell them it's easy for you to get it too. Just read it and keep reading it and keep finding out more about it, and it'll cause questions that you want to answer, and you'll search and you'll search and you'll find out. And before long, you'll have people lining up to listen to what you have to say because they believe you know the Word of God and you do know it because you've studied it. Now, if you're here tonight, I want you to go home and I want